This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My sincere apologies for the late start. As you can see, I just rushed from work and it didn't help that we have a bit of load shedding, and so unfortunately the traffic was terrible, but alhamdulillah we've made it. And this evening inshallah we'll be talking about menstruation. So last week we spoke about major impurity, and we said there's two ways really that a person becomes majorly impure. The one is the state of janaba, and that is through sexual discharge, or rather sexual ejaculation. And the other form of being in the state of janaba, so to be junub or in janaba, is through ejaculation or intercourse. Intercourse meaning penetration of the male organ into the female organ. If that happens, then you are junub. So we said sex without ejaculation, junub. Ejaculation without sex, junub. Sex with ejaculation, of course, you are doubly junub, and you need to perform a ghusl, both the man and the woman. And what about the discharge that happens before ejaculation? We call this madhi in Arabic, the pre-sexual discharge, the wetness that comes out of the private part, both from the man and the lady, due to arousal. This does not make one in the state of janaba. So you do not need to ghusl. All you need to do is to clean your private part, you need to istinja, and then you perform a wudu. It would invalidate your wudu. The other form, so janaba is the one way in which someone becomes majorly impure. The other way in which someone becomes majorly impure is through haid and nifas. Haid being menstruation and nifas being postnatal bleeding. For our purposes, we'll combine the two. It is the bleeding that the woman goes through during the month of her menses. And nifas, of course, is the bleeding that happens after she gives birth. What is this bleeding? I mean, inshallah, you should know what this is. That during the month in which the woman, she ovulates, she releases an egg, which is waiting to be fertilized by the sperm. And if there's no egg, then the uterus, the lining, and all the sort of the structures within the uterus, which is hoping to receive a new fertilized egg and to develop a baby. If there is no baby, then all of this lining sheds and the egg dies and all of this discharges, and this is menstruation. If of course, alhamdulillah, she gives birth and you know, a baby was there and then she gives birth, then again, all the lining and all this structures within the uterus, which was feeding the baby, and of course by now it's much bigger, if a baby was there for 9 months, this begins to shed as well and die off, and this is nifas. And now this has caused, and then if a lady is in hayd or nifas, she would be majorly impure. Okay, if you are majorly impure, we said last week, there are a few things you cannot do until you purify yourself through a ghusl. We haven't spoken about how to ghusl. We just said that if you want to be in the state of tahara and you are junub, then there are, or rather, if you want to remove the janaba, there are certain things you need to ghusl and remove the janaba or the haid, and then you can do certain things. What things can you not do when you are in the state of janaba? We said if you're in the state of janaba, you cannot obviously lead salah because you need wudu to lead salah. You cannot perform the tawaf. You cannot touch the Quran, the mushaf. 3. 4, you cannot enter or remain or sit in the masjid. And 5, you should not recite the Quran. So reciting is very important. The difference between reciting and touching the Quran, only can you not touch the Quran, you cannot recite the Quran if you're in the state of janaba. As for the haid lady, she cannot do, what can she not do? If she's in the haid, what she can't she do? She cannot perform salah. She cannot perform tawaf. She may not touch the Quran, the text of the Quran, she may not touch that. She may not sit or linger in the masjid. If she were to pass through, permissible, but to sit down, not permissible. And subhanAllah, there's a question around, what evidence is there for the lady not being allowed to enter the masjid? I think someone asked that last week. What if there's a class or a lecture and she wants to benefit but she's in a haid? There is a very, very interesting hadith, and it just shows you the way that you should think about how the scholars have thought about this issue. The Prophet ﷺ, you know, his house was next to the masjid. So his house and the masjid were adjacent. They shared a common wall. And the door of the house of the Nabi Sallam entered the masjid. And so the Nabi Sallam asked Aisha, his wife, can you please pass something? There was something in the masjid, a mat or so. Can you please pass it and bring it to me? Can you go fetch it from me, for me in the masjid? And she said, Ya Rasulullah, I am in my hayd. I can't enter the masjid. Well, she said, I'm in a hayd, meaning I can't enter the masjid. And the Nabi Sallam said to her, hayd is not in your hand. Now the scholars have gone to town to understand what does this hadith mean. One view is, this hadith is therefore conclusive evidence that a lady in hayd should not enter a masjid, because Aisha is not entering the masjid. She's saying, I'm in my hayd, I can't enter. And the fact that she's not entering the masjid is an indication that it's not allowed for a lady in hayd to enter the masjid. What does it then mean when the Nabi says to her, hayd is not in your hand? What he's saying is, look, the hayd is not in your hand. You can easily stick your hand in and put out, there's no problem. Rather, the hayd is in a different part of your body. And so that is why they've said, if you pass through, it's no problem. But sitting down is a problem and remaining there. But in and out, it's not a problem. And so she's, it's a small issue. Put your hand in, go and fetch the thing and put it back, no problem. There's another view that says, and this is a minority view, that the fact that the Prophet said to her, well, the fact that you have hayd is not in your control, so go in and have no issue. Hayd is not part of your, not in your power. The majority of the scholars, of course, have taken the first opinion that hayd here, referring to not in your hand, meaning it's not, you don't have, your hand is not menstruating, so your hand can go in the masjid and out, and so you can pass through in and out, no problem. Let's get back. What did we say? A lady in hayd may not perform salah. She may not perform tawaf. She may not touch the Quran. She may not linger or sit in the masjid. She may not fast while she's in a hayd. Within Ramadan or out of Ramadan, she may not fast. She may not have sexual intercourse, and no one may have sexual intercourse with her. She should not be divorced in her hayd. And we also said, and this is the controversial one, she should not recite the Quran. This is the majority scholars. Why not recite? We said they use the same hadith of the junub person. So just as the junub person, this hadith, the junub person should not recite the Quran verbally, can't recite it. So the hayd lady shouldn't also. And there's a strong group of minority scholars that have said we disagree with this, because for a lady to go every month for 7, 8 days, 10 days, even more, without reciting, they need strong evidence to prevent her from that. And the evidence is not that strong, rather it is by analogy. Nonetheless, that is the two lists of a lady, that is the list of what a lady should not do when she's in the hayd or nifas. One might ask, okay, I understand you should not sleep with the lady in hayd, because Allah mentions in the Quran that it is harmful to have intercourse while she's in a hayd. One might say, what do you mean she's not allowed to be divorced in a hayd? Well, this shows you the maturity of the Sharia, that if the husband and wife are going through some problems, naturally during the period of hayd, they're not having intercourse. And subhanAllah, we know the lady when she's in a hayd, she's not at her best from she's physically not at her best. She's also perhaps not at her best from an emotional standpoint. And so the Sharia says when this happens, do not get divorced. Get divorced when the emotions are not so high, and when you have an opportunity to reconcile by being intimate with each other. And subhanAllah, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the great scholar of the Hanbali Madhab, he has very excellent advice for his son who gets married. One of the advices he says to his son, he says, my son, your bride that you're taking, this girl that you're so in love with and you're so excited to be with her, you will see from time to time during the month, she will be someone else. She's not going to be the same loving, sweet, cute, happy girl that you know now. You will see a totally different person. Meaning when she goes through a hayd, she's in a different mindset. And at that time, it might frustrate you and you might be angry and you might want to be, you know, aggressive with her. Then he says to her, and look at these beautiful words. He says, my son, at that time, be patient with her. And remember that Allah gave up his right of salah and fast upon her during that time. During her hayd, Allah doesn't require our mothers and our sisters to perform salah. Allah does not require our wives and daughters to fast when they're going through their hayd. So if Allah gave up two pillars of Islam because of her hayd, then for you as a husband, your rights of intimacy, your rights of whatever over her, let all of that go and let her pass through this, because it's a very difficult time for her during the hayd. So this is what she can and cannot do, what she cannot do during Hayd, and what the junub person cannot do during Janabah. Now, getting further into Hayd, what makes Hayd one of the most complicated chapters in fiqh is knowing when you are in Hayd. Obviously, I've never had my Hayd, alhamdulillah. I mean, I'm a man. But for our sisters, there are different types of discharge, akramakumullah, may Allah pardon us, that exits a lady during the month. And these discharges of different colors, textures, smells, odors, and it's difficult to know, is this Hayd or not Hayd? And it does not happen in one go and stop, but rather it is usually over a period of time. And sometimes it is a lot, sometimes it's a little. Some months there's nothing, other months it goes on and on and on. And this is what complicates Hayd, knowing when the Hayd begins and when the Hayd ends. So this is the one of the most complicated areas, and something our sisters struggle with all the time, because she wants to know, is my Hayd finished so I can perform Salah? Is my Hayd started? So she's in the middle of the day of Ramadan, 5-10 minutes before the Adhan of Maghrib, she sees a few spots on her underwear. Does it mean she's had Hayd? Does it mean the entire day of Ramadan is now spoiled and she needs to make up this day afterwards? This is what complicates life when it comes to the Hayd. So the scholars have mentioned, with regards to the menstrual blood, there are certain characteristics, there are certain indicators that what is discharged is Hayd and not other discharge, because multiple things come through that area. And so the most likely, and every woman is different, the Hayd in terms of a blood, the blood that comes out of Hayd is darker than normal blood, and it has a blackness to it in many cases, and it has a strong way foul odor to it. It is sometimes preceded, so before the actual Hayd comes out, before it there might be a brown and yellowish discharge that indicates the beginning of Hayd, and similarly towards the end of the Hayd a further brown and yellow discharge, and so it goes from a yellow brown to a very dark red color, and even perhaps even a black color, and then it starts to clear up until a white discharge, a clear discharge, and that clear discharge is an indication the Hayd is ended. Also, the Hayd is at times preceded, or it is accompanied with cramping. So one of the ways to know if this is Hayd or not Hayd is if there's cramps and other physical pain. And subhanAllah, to actually know how complicated this is, knowing if it's Hayd or not, Aisha radiallahu anha, our mother, she would be given little boxes from the ladies in Medina with pieces of cotton or material in there with discharge, and say, is this Hayd? Is this Hayd? Is it not Hayd? And Aisha radiallahu anha would have a very famous statement. She said to them, don't rush. So if you see any of this discharge coming out and it has a color, and it's during the time period that you usually have Hayd, then take it as Hayd. And only when you see a white clear discharge, when your discharge is clear without a color, that is an indication that you are pure. Now, what we understand here is every lady should have an idea as to her cycle. So she should know that for a few number of days, in the month, I have a number of days in which I am free of Hayd. Then, maybe it's 3 weeks, maybe it's 2.5 weeks, maybe it's 3.5 weeks. Every lady is different, and that's what also complicates it. But she should have an idea of when to expect the Hayd. She should have an idea, this is the Hayd part of the month. And when she sees discharge coming out at that time, and there's cramps perhaps with it, then it is deemed to be Hayd. Now we say the Hayd begins. Any discharge, so the rule, what is the rule, sisters? Any discharge that has a color and it happens during the time of the month where you expect the Hayd to be, then this is now the beginning of your menstruation. Even if it's a little, even if it's a lot, even if it starts and stops, you're deemed to be in your Hayd. When you see the color disappearing and it's clear, it is deemed that your Hayd is over, even if it comes earlier. So maybe you usually menstruate for 7 days. After the fifth day, the color is gone and you have this clear discharge, then your Hayd is deemed to be finished. If of course, again, after that, maybe an hour or two, a day later, more discharge comes out and it has color, then your Hayd continues, and that's not a problem. It may start and it may stop. To make life a little easier, the madhabs have tried to place limits, try to put time frames as to how long possibly can the hayd be. If a lady has discharge, continue, so she might say it's not so easy, it doesn't start and stop, but I have drops or discharge throughout the month, all the time. I don't know if this hayd or not. Maybe a month goes by and nothing comes out. So what happened in that month? So the scholars try to make life easy and prescribe certain limits as to what is hayd, when it begins and ends. And there's a difference of opinion between scholars, and this is again, there is no hadith, no ayah in the Quran that says a lady will menstruate for 5 days, 7 days, 10 days, 20 days. There's no such thing. And so we have two ways of approaching it. The one way is like Aisha's way, where every month you assess. You look at your discharge, you assess, do I have cramps? Is there odor? Is this the time of the month? If that is the case, I have hayd. If you have a discharge at a random time, so maybe you had hayd and it's been now 5 days, 6 days when you could clear, there's no expectation of hayd, and some discharge exits, we don't say that's hayd. We say that is random discharge because it didn't happen at the time in which hayd is expected. So the one method, Aisha's method, is you assess every month, every discharge, and that is how you operate. The other method is you follow the rules of the madhab that try to give you guidelines. So the Shafi madhab mentions that the minimum menstruation period is 1 day and one night. So per the Shafi madhab, for a lady who has not gone through her menopause, they deem it that at least the minimum is that she should have 1 day of menstruation, even if nothing discharges. And the Hanafis have put a minimum period of 3 days and three nights. And of course, there are other madhabs that says absolutely, it might be that there is nothing. If you have no discharge, you have no discharge. And inshallah, that minority view seems to be more correct, that if your time of hayd has come and there is absolutely no discharge, you have no discharge, you have no hayd. You can only have hayd if something comes out. And the Shafi'is mention that a standard period of hayd, a normal period, is around 6 days or 7 days, and the Hanafis are very similar, 5 days. They said this is a default that the majority of women have, either 5 or 6 days of menstruation. The Shafi madhab mentions the maximum hayd can possibly be is 15 days. That one, even if she is bleeding continuously, after 15 days, we say that your hayd has finished, even if she still discharges. Why? The reason is a logical one. They would say that hayd is an exception to the rule, right? You are clean and then you have hayd, a period of hayd. So hayd cannot be more than clean. You cannot be more of the month out, if you get what I'm trying to say. So the maximum possibly is half the month hayd and half the month pure. But you cannot have majority of them. This is a ruling that the Shafi madhab has placed as a limit. And that the intervals between hayd as a minimum cannot be less than 15 days. Now, this is very technical, very complicated, but suffice to say that if a lady is menstruating and it goes beyond 15 days, then after the 15th day, even if she's menstruating, we now say that this is excessive bleeding, and what she should do is similar to the guy, to the person who is excessively urinating. We call this, it's irregular, istihada, irregular bleeding. So what we say to the lady, she says, look, I've had hayd for more than 15 days. 15 days, we say 15 days is the maximum. After that, if you still are discharging, then what you should do is, before every salah, you would istinja, you would perform a new wudu, and you would make salah. So you would, the adhan for dhuhr comes in. You would clean your private area, you would take wudu and you would perform salah. Even while you're performing salah, you feel some discharge coming out, no problem, it's fine. Asr comes, you do the same thing. New wudu, new salah, and that's fine. Because this is deemed as excessive bleeding. And you would fast during the month of Ramadan because you're not deemed to be in hayd. You're not deemed to be in hayd. So when a woman has a period, as we said, she's not allowed to pray. But when the bleeding is istihada, meaning excessive bleeding, then this is not the case. But she has to be careful, and she has to do wudu each time. And we said istihadha is, and there's a hadith where a lady was bleeding like this, and the Prophet said perhaps it is a vein, it is rather not hayd blood, but it is an internal bleeding and has nothing to do with hayd. And so for the ladies, as I said, that this is a bit complicated, as she goes through different stages in her life, she might her cycle might change and her cycle might become irregular. And every woman knows her own body the best. And at the end of the day, what is required is you do this assessment and you judge what is, you know, you judge the discharge and you deem it, is it hayd or not. There's a hadith narrated in Abu Dawood. It was narrated by Al-Bukhari, and after a woman's period was over, we did not bother about, rather, means we did not think it was menstruation, but it is najasa, discharge, by which that a woman has to wash it away and do wudu. But if the white discharge is immediately followed by a period, then it's part of the period and to do ghusl because it is janaba. So, once again, we said to this hadith, what is this hadith saying? Hadith is saying that if a lady has discharged, so this is the question you get all the time. A lady says, I have discharged something, you know, it's not during the time of the month, that's usually, but it's a brown color, it came out. What is this? When this happens, ladies, it is not hayd. You istinja, your wudu is broken, and you need to perform a new wudu, unless that brownness comes during the time of hayd. So that is your rule of thumb. If I know that my hayd is usually from the 20th of the month to the 25th, any discharge during that period is deemed to be hayd. But if the 15th, 14th, 10th of the month, you never have hayd during that period, and you see some discharge, it's not hayd, rather it is najasa, and you should do a new wudu. In terms of postnatal bleeding, and again, this is again very specific for the lady who is bleeding during childbirth, is there a maximum, is there a minimum? The Shafi madhab says that as a maximum, it's 60 days. So a lady should not go beyond 2 months of postnatal bleeding, the bleeding after birth. If she's bleeding continuously still, then it's deemed, again, istihada. She will continue to make salah and wash herself. But of course, she needs to consult a doctor for this excessive bleeding that continues. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for our sisters and our mothers. And inshallah, this is with regards to hayd. And I know it's very topical, especially when it comes to the month of Ramadan, because the lady wants to perform a fasting and she wants to be attached to the Quran. And so the rules of the Sharia are there. Of course, she should not fear that her deeds in any way are missed out. There's a very, very beautiful, and I conclude with this hadith for the evening, and we'll take questions now. There's a very beautiful hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says that if one did a regular ibadah, so you regularly perform tahajjud, you regularly fast on a Monday or Thursday, and because of travel or sickness or anything that is out of your control, it prevented you from doing that act of worship. In other words, had things been normal, you would have fasted on the Monday or the Thursday. But because something happened, you were sick, you were unable to fast, then Allah writes for you the reward. You continue to get the reward. And so sisters, alhamdulillah, as you know, that if it was not for your hayd, you would have performed salah. If it was not for your hayd, you would have fasted in the month of Ramadan. You should not fear that the reward is with. And in fact, subhanAllah, something to think about, if Allah is going to, if you perform dhuhr out of your own, you might have, mind might have not been there, you might have made a mistake, you might not have been fully focused, but because Allah is gifting you a free salah, a free fasting, He's going to gift you the complete one, as better than the one you would have made, subhanAllah. Think about it like that. I'm getting a salah during my hayd period, the salah Allah is giving me is better than the one that I would have done on my own. And of course, we know that for the ladies during a hayd, she does not have to redo all the salah she misses. So she goes a week without performing salah, that's 35 waqts, she does not need to redo them. But of course, if she misses a day in Ramadan, she needs to redo and make up those fasting days. Why does the Sharia say that she doesn't redo her salah? Because it becomes difficult. Imagine she has to have 35 days, 35 waqts, or 40 waqts, you know, if you're 10 days, 9 days in hayd, 45 waqts. And then to make it up is going to be very, very difficult for her. And so the Sharia has not burdened her beyond her means, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Ubaid, any questions?
Yes, Sheikh, there is one.
Got a question?
Is it permissible to take something chemical or natural to stop your hayd? like for example, if you go on Hajj or Umrah or
Mm, excellent. So the question, and a very common question, especially for those who go on Hajj and Umrah, or during Ramadan, for example, can I take a medication that prevents my hayd from coming? The answer is yes. The scholars have deemed it is permissible. The majority, of course, there will be those who say no, some say yes. But it doesn't seem like there's any reason why this should be impermissible, so long as the substance you're taking does not harm you and is not detrimental to your health. But if it's a medication that prevents you from, and similarly, it's, I mean, just think about it. If you took some kind, if you had diarrhea or you had some other, you know, discharge, and you took some medication to prevent it, would that be permissible? That's fine. So, that is the same kind of reasoning and rationale. And inshallah, it is permissible for the ladies to take certain medication to prevent their hayd from coming. But anything medical needs to be, it's a question of medicine. Your doctor needs to prescribe it. And if the doctor advises against it, then you should not take it. Any other questions, Ubaid?
Just that one,
then Jazakallah Khair. And again, apologies for the late start. We'll continue next week. We'll talk about ghusl. How does one actually perform the ghusl? What do you do if you are in your hayd and your hayd finishes, or you're in your janaba and now you'd like to get out of the major impurity? What do you do? How do you perform ghusl? Inshallah, that will be our discussion next week, باذن الله. وصلى الله سيدنا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه وسلم والسلام والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.